And welcome to the program on this Thursday. It's 105 right now. This is Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for tuning in. Myself and Bridger Riedel, Ag Director out here at Big Iron Still. If you want to stop by, we're in the Morton Building. We're here for the rest of the afternoon. Come by, say hi. We still got some hats left. You can guess our corn yield. Get yourself a chance of winning a rain gauge or a grain gauge. Get brought to us by IntelliFarms.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to giving one of those away.
They are from Castleton. If you are out at Big Iron, they are right on the south corner of the Morton Building. So you could swing over there and take a little look-see at what they all got going on.
Indeed. We got some fun stuff coming up on the program today. We got a few more guests that will be joining us. We got a rundown on this windy forecast. I mean, thank God it's not as nasty as it was yesterday, though, Bridget. I'll take the wind over the smoke.
I got to tell you, the smoke doesn't bother me. But
It really doesn't bother me either, though.
The wind is a good thing, because it would be super smoking hot out there today if you were walking around Big Iron on the blacktop without
it. It's a little warm. Well, even the last 2 days, I mean, we had wind, but it wasn't enough. I mean, even only hitting low 80s, it was still a little warm out here for my taste.
Okay, so speaking of a little warm for the next few days, the weekend looks stellar, but
yes.
what do we go through on Friday before we get to it?
Let's see. What do we got on Friday?
Weather
here?
Boy. What you got?
Yes.
Weather man. You're not a boy. You're
weather
a
boy, weather person, weather weather them.
Weather them.
Weather them. Yeah, well, today it's going to be a warm one. Tomorrow also going to be warm. Both days windy. A little windier tomorrow for us.
There's the wind sound effect.
That's the wind sound effect.
That's right.
I'm here to help.
Thank you.
I miss our soundboard. We haven't had it for 3 days. Listeners are probably like, oh, thank God they haven't had it for 3 days.
There's not been 3 days of screaming goat, so it's a blessing in disguise.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, hazy sunshine today and windy. Wind advisories in effect across most of the state until 7 o'clock this evening. Temperatures top out in the mid to a few upper 80s today with south winds around 20 to 35 miles per hour sustained. With some gusts as high as 45 miles
45.
Per hour. Now, more of those 45-mile-per-hour wind gusts will be reserved for central North Dakota.
45 is how fast I'm leaving the parking lot later.
Yes, yes. I saw you coming in at 45.
Thank you. I saw that. Yeah, I thought you might.
Yeah, I was scared for my life.
You should be.
And for tonight, wind sticks around 15 to 30. Partly cloudy, lows upper 60s. We'll basically repeat it again tomorrow. It's hazy sunshine with increasing clouds throughout the afternoon. South winds a bit stronger at 20 to 40 miles per hour and gusting higher than that at times, probably upwards again of 45 miles per hour. So would not be surprised to see another wind advisory issued for tomorrow. Cold front's going to be swinging through late in the day. This looks to hit by about 6 right now is the way it looks like.
Oh,
6 in the evening. Along that cold front, we'll see a few spotty showers riding along. It might hear a couple rumbles of thunder, and then that will just turn into a few isolated showers throughout the rest of the night to Friday. So really not
minor.
A big deal. I'd say about 5 to 8 is our best chance, best 3-hour window for some light to moderate rain showers, but nothing crazy, nothing to write home about. And it's going to be a fairly dry weekend. I can't rule out an isolated shower here or there possible on Saturday. It's most likely to be in central and northern Minnesota, so we may see a shower pop up in the middle of the day. Just about everywhere is going to stay dry on Saturday, though, here in the valley.
Totally fair.
Upper 70s, low 80s, lighter wind, hazy sunshine, a few spotty showers Saturday night, dry for Sunday, mid 80s. So a nice little weekend in store.
Looking forward to it. And honestly, one of the other things I look forward to is hearing from the comments from people who have been walking around out here at Big Iron. Weather aside, it's been sunny, it's been dry, maybe a little dusty to some, but I think the opportunity to get out and see what's been going on has been tremendous. And remember, it's not just farm equipment, it's construction equipment. Most farms already use backhoes, track hoes, and payloaders, especially of cattle. So there's a lot of things you got to keep track of.
I think what a lot of people don't realize about a construction and a farm show, there's a lot of technology out here, Bridget. I mean, there's a lot of science and high-tech stuff that's getting incorporated to both sectors.
Well, to that effect, when it comes to technology and all the things that it encompasses, that's why we have Matt with Razor Tracking with us today. So, Matt, how are you?
Excellent. How are you today?
We are doing fantastic.
Great.
So, okay, we prefaced this with talking about technology for you. You are literally the razor's edge of what's going on and keeping track of all these pieces of equipment. Can you explain your business, a little overview for us?
Yeah. We are a full end-to-end solution for GPS tracking. So that's not just stopping at the piece of equipment that's in the yard, that's going in the field, that's going out on the roads, out on the gravel roads in the country and just kind of covering every type of vehicle, not just stopping at that semi, but starting at that non-powered piece of equipment that might be sitting out in the field that you might want to locate at a different time.
Mm-hmm. You know, okay, so there's some examples that come to mind right away for me. First things first, you've got farms with multiple employees. Mm-hmm. I talked to a farmer yesterday from Lemoore. He's got 9 employees. So he needs to know where people are at and where his equipment is at, because if you forget where you parked that chisel plow, it'd be kind of nice to find it again.
Absolutely.
And you can do that, and it's almost like a little RFID tag on it, if you will, or a little unit. How is it powered if it's just a tillage piece of equipment?
Yep. So when it comes to the asset tracking, we do use an on-demand asset tracker, and that has a ping once a day on average. And then any time that you want to know the location of that GPS unit, you can actually go onto our system and use a button to ping it,
sure.
And then it will update within right around 5 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
So it gives you a lot of advantages, especially if you have anything maybe like, like gas that mm-hmm. you're looking to fill up, or water tanks that you're looking to find.
Yes.
Or you left that piece of tillage equipment behind your shed and you're trying to figure out where it's at.
And somebody got lost.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of times where you have someone who's a new employee and you say, I want you to go out to the Merrigan field. The problem is they don't know exactly where that is. And then you can't find them either.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just need to be able to track all those employees. Now, when you look at retail locations, you work with a number of large retail operations that handle seed, chemistry, fertilizer. They have a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
How do you keep track of some of that?
So with our system, you have the ability to break those vehicles down. So if the, let's say the agronomy sector only needs to see the agronomy vehicles, the people that are running that agronomy section can take those vehicles and only see them on their screen.
Okay.
And that goes with grain, feed, construction, LP, any of those kind of those sectors that you do have. You have the ability to break that down, so any person who needs to see those vehicles will be able to see those vehicles.
So, Justin, I've witnessed this in retail locations, and you would love it. It looks like a giant video game, because you see this humongous screen with all the little moving bodies on it, and that's all the different pieces of equipment.
You see, that's kind of cool you got that. I don't farm. I farm virtually on a computer. If ever I lose a piece of equipment, I just got to hit the tab button a few times until I hop into the right vehicle.
Yeah.
But now safety is another factor, and I'm familiar with the dash cams that you can put on pieces of equipment as well. Not probably just semis, but others. And how helpful can that be when you're talking to farm or construction crews?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is the bigger rule, right? If you're bigger, it's your fault.
Absolutely.
And that's the whole concept of dash cameras is the accountability aspect. That, hey, you know, this vehicle ran into your big rig, and all of a sudden it's your fault. Well, having those dash cameras, it has that accountability aspect. But not only does it start there, it also starts at the insurance companies too.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to thank you on an everyday basis of being able to have that footage and being able to have all that information available to them at a fingertip. So. That's the biggest aspect of it, is insurance companies are starting to pick this up. And since we have a partnership with Nationwide Agribusiness, they do subsidize the accounts, some of the units for those accounts, and help those businesses get some cameras in for a little cheaper.
Speaking of cameras, do you work with livestock producers to have cameras in remote sites, you know, pastures, corral systems, et cetera, maybe even barns during calving?
We have in the past. It's something that isn't a main focus of our company currently, but that's something that we definitely have entertained in the past for sure.
Sure. Well, the guys have joked about, you know, trying to figure out where I am some days. Maybe we have to. A cowbell is not going to cover it. So
I think the cowbell would really help, though. I mean, you just kind of sneak up on us. Yeah, put a bell on her.
Right. So maybe we have to do something like that where you guys know where I'm at on a regular basis. Because today it's Big Iron. Tomorrow we don't know yet.
Well,
next week.
Idea.
Next week, actually, I'm remote for 3 days next week, too.
Oh, where are you going now?
I'll be in Bismarck. Is it going to storm?
Yeah.
That doesn't help me out.
Yes, it will, actually.
Goodness. So, Matt, what are some of the things about Razor Tracking that we want to make sure listeners hear, whether they are farm or other industries as well?
You know, there's a lot of misconceptions when it comes to GPS tracking that it's just a Big Brother system.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, absolutely, you can look at it as a Big Brother system, but I think the real big thing is that, some of the stats that we have came up with is you get a return on investment with our system within the first 30 days of putting the units in. And that just helps out because it's you're just able to coordinate so much better, because not only are you as a owner are able to see your vehicles, but you can give it to your spray drivers, you can give it to your grain drivers, and they're able to navigate the people that might not know the area as well as somebody that's worked for the company for 30 years.
Sure.
And that's a huge efficiency boost for them. So we've also shown that we can get a right around 20 to 30% efficiency boost in the first month of using the product. And that's just because of the awareness that there is tracking out there. And they might not stop it, you know, at the gas station five times in one day. It might be a one time a day now. And that way they want to keep those vehicles moving. So that's, you know, that's the huge benefit of it. And there's just a misconception that the owner's just sitting there staring at the screen the entire time. And
nobody has that time.
Yeah, they use it as a management tool to get in, to see the information. And then we also have a lot of historical information, too, that they can go in and just kind of have that peace of mind aspect, too.
You know, I'll be honest, I'm just glad my parents didn't have that on any of our equipment or farm trucks when I was a kid, because might have been some places I shouldn't have been.
Yeah, they got that on my sister actually has that in her car. She's, well, maybe not anymore since she's 18, but when she first got her license, yeah, they had the whole where you at little thing plugged into the car.
Nope, that's not going to work in my world. Glad we're past that point. Matt, thank you for joining us today. Again, you're with Razor Tracking. Where could folks find you today at Big Iron, and where will you be here? We talked about some upcoming trade shows. Is there anything where folks can track you down?
Yeah, we're in the Harvest Hall right across from the food court, and then we'll be at the Farm Science show, and then also at the Equip Expo down in Louisville. So,
how about things that are online where people can find you too?
Yeah, razortracking.com. You should be able to find all that information right there, and get a phone number to give us a call.
Really awesome. Appreciate that. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere because we want to talk with Morton Buildings coming up. Oh, we'll always have to check on the weather, and maybe we'll get to headlines today, but I doubt it. We're going to try. Thanks for listening at Big Iron. We'll be back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for rejoining us 121 on this Thursday afternoon. We'll have a rundown on your forecast coming up in just a bit, but lots more fun things coming up on the show, and our next guest has joined us now. Casey from Morton Buildings. What's going on, Casey? Thanks for coming on again with us.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, how's your experience been so far these last 2.5 days now?
It's been good. It's a little warm.
Oh.
You know, we're in a building without AC, so it gets a little toasty in here, but that's
for
all right.
Sure. What's been the consensus of people that have been coming in and talking with you guys? What do they think about Morton?
We get a lot of repeat customers back in.
Sure.
We get a lot of people that already own a Morton or owned a Morton or dad owned a Morton, so they're coming back to us because they want that same level of quality.
Sure. Well, I mean, the building here looks beautiful. I'm sure a lot of people ask, what makes Morton different? What's your answer to that?
Well, the first thing right up front is the quality of service that we bring.
Sure.
We're not just the builder or just the manufacturer or just the supplier. We handle everything from start to finish. You know, I show up day one, talk with the customer, we design out the building. Once they place the order, we manufacture it in our own facility. And then when the guys go out to build the building, it's a Morton crew that comes out on site. And then even after that, if the customer wants us to handle the subcontracting, we're also the general contractor, so we can handle their concrete, their electrical, their insulation, plumbing, doors, all that fun stuff.
You know, that was going to be a question I had, is who does all of those things? Because if you think about having to put up a building, you start from the ground up.
Yep.
But you are able to do that from start to finish, whereas some folks may say, nope, you're going to piecemeal this. You take part. I will handle some of it as your building contractor, et cetera.
Exactly. You know, and that's, I think that makes us a little different. There are a lot of companies out there where they're not even manufacturing their own stuff. They're going and picking it up, bringing it out, and then they just assemble it. And that's all they do. You know, we'll handle from, you know, we'll bring the dirt guys in. They'll take care of all the site prep. Then we come and build. We'll handle concrete, all that stuff.
You know, honestly, when you think about Morton Buildings, it's kind of like when people talk about Xerox or Kleenex. You're the name when people still use. When you say, well, that place is there's a football stadium somewhere in the state that I laugh about and say it looks like a Morton building because it's just like a big tin shed. But the realization is you guys are the standard that everybody has for quality buildings, especially for machinery, shops, barns, etc.
I appreciate hearing that. Yeah, it's not uncommon for somebody to contact us saying, well, we have a Morton building, we just need somebody to come and look at it. And we keep files all the way back to 60s, 70s for all these buildings.
Wow.
And I can't find it. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I go out, and sure enough, it's not an actual Morton. Now, we will work on non-Morton buildings to a certain extent, you know, so if they need a reskin on the building or something like that, we can handle that for them. But that's a case-by-case basis.
So hold on. When you say go out and service them, what do you, you said reskin them, so you're just basically residing because something can deteriorate? What other services do you have to do?
So on the repair side of things, it's not uncommon for, you know, even cleaning out gutters, you know, replacing gutters on buildings, sliding doors wear out over time. I mean, you have a 30-year-old sliding door, you know, or even to that extent, retrofitting, you know, back in the day, it was not uncommon to have sliding doors, but now they want the overhead or they want a bifold door. So then we can come out and give our experience and actually show them how that we can convert those sliding doors into one of those other types of doors.
What about if somebody has a pre-existing building and, you know, for 30, 40 years it's been up doing what it needs to do and they're like, well, I kind of want to do things different. I want to move some walls around. I want to put another room in over there. I want to, you know, I want to change the inside structure or whatnot. Do you guys go in and do any renovation like that where you're moving stuff around or taking a wall out or putting a new wall in?
So when it comes to the actual building itself, we handle the shell. So if there are interior rooms, things like that, we'll either let another interior contractor handle it.
Okay.
Some offices might subcontract that out. So that would be more on an interior contractor to handle those things. We don't stick frame. Everything is post frame, right? So like even in this building, there's a partition wall. You know, we will put the partition wall in. Now, moving it is a whole...
That's a whole new game.
That's a whole new game because there's foundation under there. There's all that stuff, right? But if they want to... For example, even like that side of the building is cold storage. We go in all the time and insulate these old cold storage buildings, put our insulation package in, put liner steel in, and now they've got essentially a brand new insulated shop that they can work out of. They can heat it and be comfortable all winter long.
Right. When somebody gets in contact with you and they set up a plan, like, all right, yeah, we're coming out, we're going to do a building. What's that time frame look like from putting, or from, you know, we got the idea to the building's done?
It's a tricky question because it's all office-specific.
Sure.
So it depends on where their crew capacity is at. It depends on where their Gantt chart, how many other buildings they have ahead of you already. You know, it's not uncommon to see 6 months to 12 months for lead times.
Sure.
You know? But like I said, that's office-specific, so you're just going to want to reach out to the local office that handles your area, and they can tell you way more about it.
What is that area? How large of an area does Morton have?
So right now we're all the whole East Coast. We've got Morton, Illinois is our corporate headquarters.
Okay.
And then we have 5 regions within the company that are all have their own manufacturing plant and all that. So we're all the way over in from the East Coast all the way over into Oregon now, Washington, all over the place.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And just the legacy, like you said, buildings that were put up in the 50s and 60s.
Yep.
I grew up on a farm where we have a dairy barn that was built in the late 70s. That was a Morton building.
Yep.
And those buildings...
Still looks good.
It really does. You know, and we call it the Morton building, but often, like when you're a little kid, you call it the Green Barn. Because, well, that's easy. But yeah, Morton building put that one up for us long ago.
Cool.
Still gets used, not for dairy cows, but it gets used for a lot of other things now.
Yep, absolutely.
And so that's one of the things, too, is your buildings are so multifunctional. You know, I had a conversation this morning on a different radio show of ours with WDAY in regards to... with the size of buildings, because when you bring in a sprayer, you have to be able to have the clearance to come in the door. You have to have the clearance inside the span in order to unfold the wings. And then if you have 110 foot of boom, you got to be able to not only unfold all of that, be able to walk around on the ends.
That's a lot of boom.
it's a lot of boom.
It's a lot of space to work with.
And not that uncommon anymore for you to do a build like that, correct?
No, no. We can go all the way up to 150 feet wide with our steel truss, our hybrid truss, we call it. And then up to 300 feet long. I mean, you can build just absolutely monstrous buildings. But if that's what you need, you know, to be able to service that equipment, we can do it for you.
And I have had the point made by listeners who maybe aren't familiar and say, well, why would you need a building that big? Here's the answer.
A building can never be too big.
Right. Yeah. And if you just spent $500,000 on a used combine It's like a new used car. You're not parking it outside, right?
No.
Do you want to try and fit three cars into a two-stall garage?
Exactly.
Have fun with that.
And additionally, when you want that size, I don't want to work on equipment outside in 20-degree weather laying on the ground.
Of course not.
And nobody does. Nobody does it, really. You know, and that's the other thing, right? Yes, the building is an investment, but you're protecting all of the other investments you have. You're putting them inside there. And then when you have the ability to work on your own equipment instead of having to pay somebody else to do it, you can factor that in and go, I'm saving that much more money by being able to service my own equipment.
Absolutely.
Right. How about any, I don't want to call them packages, but guarantees or warranties? Morton do anything like that on the buildings they build?
We have a really extensive warranty on our building. So it's 50-year snow load warranty.
Okay.
Then
that's good.
Yep, and then we have a 35-year paint warranty on all of our painted products.
Wow. Okay.
And then we have a 5-year wind warranty, and there's a few others in there, smaller ones, but those are really the big three that everybody looks at.
Right. Well, there are a lot of building companies that don't really give you a squat on warranty for a building.
It's mostly paint.
We put it up, it's yours now.
Yep.
I got a few in mind.
And that's the other thing, too, is, you know, even these 30-year-old buildings, they can reach out to the local office, and I can find their file.
Sure.
So if they need repair work done, I can see the exact plans for that building and go back and say, yeah, you know, you need this many sheets of steel, we can get it ordered for you, we can have a crew out here to fix it, or whatever the repair might be.
Even more fun. Oh, well, so Casey, for folks that maybe are going to miss you today, they're not here at Big Iron, but you want them to still reach out.
Yep.
How can they do that?
So best way is go online. They'll be able to fill out a form online. They just enter their zip code where they're looking to build, and it'll send an email directly to the sales consultant for that territory.
Great.
That's the best way. They can also reach out. You know, if you go on even Google, search Morton Buildings, it'll come up with, you know, a map with all the locations, and whatever's closest to them, they can call there too, and they'll get the information to the right people.
That is fantastic. And so, again, thank you for hosting us for 3 days.
Absolutely.
Letting us be in here. We greatly appreciate that.
Yep, not a problem. We drove a lot of traffic in here yesterday, so we appreciated it too.
That's good.
Good. Glad to see that. Well, folks, we still have another guest. We're going to be joined by our consumer, on golf cart. She's been walking around. She's been getting all sorts of ideas and questions of things that she doesn't know what they are and how does that fit into farming, and we're going to talk about that coming up next. And a welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus right here.
There's
from Big Iron.
Goat.
Oh, the goat made it. I don't know if I want to say thank you, Addison, or not, but you got him.
Can you get the Huma Huma as well?
Oh, we'll work on that for the next segment. How's that sound? That
sounds good.
Oh, if you are out to Big Iron today and perhaps you have not stopped yet at the Brenko building to pick up a hitch pin, we have hitch pins for you. Make sure you take those home. And they're the heavy size ones.
It makes a good window breaker.
They're big. I think those are the 3/4 inch. And I did have a farmer tell me on Tuesday night, I think that might be too big for the hitch on some of my implements. I said, you need bigger hitches.
Yeah, you need some. Indeed you do. Oh, man.
Also, speaking of interesting comments, this morning as I was walking around the showground, someone said, hey, I think I know you from the radio. I said, yes, you probably do.
Get out of my way, lady.
No, it was more of, you look taller on radio, was the comment he gave me.
I've heard that you look better on radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you look better on radio. It's like, oh.
Thanks. Ah. Goody. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so we have a guest with us today. Our guest, she is fun, and that is Naomi Ori.
Ori.
I got to say the E on the
end. That's all right, girl. It's fine.
So Naomi is a returning guest because we like this little bit of an idea.
That's a fun bit.
It is, because Naomi doesn't have necessarily a background in farming, but you grew up in the region. Give just a little history of your home.
So my hometown is Ada, Norman County. Hey. having friends and family in the ag too, I was just really ignorant about it. And at my age, I want to learn more about that because I'm in the Red River Valley, very well known for like sugar beet, wheat, stuff like that. So Big Iron is quite interesting, I'll say that.
And this is your first time out here. So
yes.
You're would you say you're an in-town city person?
Yeah, I'm a city girl, yeah.
Yeah, girl, and no experience with agriculture?
No.
Didn't really hear anything about it? This is your first time being around something like this?
Yes.
Say those, you know, agricultural people?
Yeah.
As a city girl, what are your thoughts? What do you think about being out here?
First impressions.
I was a little intimidated, not going to lie, when I came in.
Sure.
Okay, but why? Why would you feel that?
Because I am a city girl. I mean, you know, I'm not well experienced in this.
And I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
No, pretty much. But no, I mean, I warmed up a little bit when I, you know, got here the first like 15, 20 minutes.
Good.
And you learn a lot. A lot of farm equipment, a lot of people in the egg, obviously, and a lot of nice people, too.
So did you stop and ask some questions occasionally as you were walking around?
No, I didn't.
Feeling a little shy.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to lie. That's just me. But I did take a lot of pictures.
Oh.
Farm equipment and all that stuff, too.
Okay, so before we even look at some pictures, what did you see that really caught your eye as you walked this morning?
Well, there's one exhibit, kind of like in the beginning, like the antique tractors.
Yes.
I love that. Okay. I think they're out of Kindred and maybe.
I think they might be. Yep.
I think that's really, really cool.
Yep. And in fact, right north of us here, Bonanzaville has some of their antique tractors out as well.
Old Steigers.
Okay, very nice. And then just like the combines and then the accessories with that.
Sure.
They're huge.
Yeah, what do you think of the size of some of the equipment out here?
I'm like, I am poor. I can't afford all this. I'm like, come on. But it was really, really cool to see that up close in person, and I would definitely come back next year.
So before we get into the questions and your questions and showing us what you saw, and maybe Bridget will be able to answer more than I will be able to because I'm just a city guy. A small city guy. Well, a whopping 23,000. Yeah,
okay.
Take that, Fargo.
Oh, man.
The
nice.
Beef.
All right.
Nice.
What would you say to somebody who's in a similar spot that you're in? I'm not in agriculture. This isn't my environment. I don't know if I should go out to Big Iron. What would you say to somebody like that based on your impressions of being here so far?
I think that if you have an interest in it, just go out there and show up. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little intimidating, like I said, but you're going to get comfortable with that. And there's so many people that can help you with questions and all, just everything.
Cool.
I got out here a little later than I planned, and that's fine. But I think that if you have an interest in doing that, just show up, go out, walk around.
You really had to hustle to cover some ground.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's okay.
Naomi, my track star.
Yeah. Got to get those miles in. That's fine.
So let's show us and talk about what you saw. I can't wait to see what caught your eye. I mean, I've got my favorites, and Justin maybe has his.
Me and Bridget probably have similar favorites. You got a favorite color?
Yellow.
Yellow.
Yep. Oh, like a mustard yellow, sunflower yellow. That's
New Holland.
Yeah. Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay.
So this one.
Look at that.
Oh, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. So what Naomi is showing us is she has a Salford. That is a tillage. That's the name of the company. It's a red tillage tool. What you're going to do with this is you're going to use it to till the ground.
Okay.
You could do that before seeding or after. From what I can see on here, it's got the wavy disc coulters, and it's got what they call them a spring tooth harrow.
Okay.
And if you see that wrapped around coil with a straight tooth down into the ground, that's the harrow. So when you see that wavy disc go in the front of it, it's going to turn some of your soils, as our friend Sarah Lovis would say, and then the harrow behind it is set stiffly, so it's actually like a stirring action when it goes through the soil profile.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was a Salford tool.
Really cool.
I was at Salford's booth here in the last couple days as well, and one of the things that I saw that I really like, I have the literature on it, but they don't have the actual piece of equipment here, is it is a row crop cultivator.
Okay.
So let's think about corn. Corn gets planted in rows, and you've got spacing between the rows somewhere probably anywhere from 22 to 30 inches apart, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing out numbers here. But with that cultivator, you've got a tillage tool that goes in between. These things also have laser guidance on them. So if there, it doesn't.
That? They got lasers.
So as you're going down the field, if there's a plant and it's maybe a little bit out of the row, the piece of equipment.
Gentle kickback.
It adjusts itself so that it doesn't throw that plant and kill it.
Well, that's cool.
It's very cool. So that's one of the new things from Salford.
Okay. That was really cool. I had to take a picture of this.
Okay.
And then
I love the pictures.
Thank you. This one I'm not sure of, but they had some info on that equipment.
Oh, Justin, do you know what that is?
What in the world is that? That looks like cedar.
It's your favorite crop, actually.
Is it? What's my favorite crop? Corn?
Sugar beets.
Sugar beets.
Okay.
Favorite crop.
So this looks like aloe. That's the name of the company.
Big tool right there.
Okay, so what this actually is that is their sugar beet harvester. So as you see on the bottom here where that tool is at, there's literally like big rubber discs that come together in a V-shape, and they pop the sugar beet out of the ground. That sugar beet then follows up a conveyor, gets into this basket at the top, rolls around a little bit, knocks all the dirt off of it, and then it goes. This conveyor actually would lay down over the top of a truck, and then the sugar beets get loaded into a semi or a large truck that gets taken into the beet plants for processing.
Wow.
That is a big piece of equipment.
That's a very big piece of equipment.
It was very huge.
Yes.
This is why I can't have nice things. So, just saying.
You could, but you're going to need a building like Morton's right here to park it all in.
Yes, yes. Morton's, my friends, yes.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
And then this one, I mean, I've seen it so many times, but I'm not familiar with that accessory.
So
you guys make a guess here.
Let me take a stab at this, because I have old Great Plains there modded into the old Farming Simulator
game. Oh, my.
And this is going to be a big old disc plow. Cultivator.
Disc cultivator, probably.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to look at that.
Disc cultivator?
Yep, that's a cultivator. Yep, that is by Great Plains.
Go Great Plains.
Okay, so what you see, Naomi got a picture of it, and it folded up in its transport mode.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's got a bunch of rows of vertical discs.
Yes, it does. And those are some heavy discs. And then behind it, you're going to see that it has some chisel points.
Yeah.
Those are spikes. And then I bet, I can't quite see it in the picture, but I bet behind that, they're called a rolling basket. And a rolling basket, it actually looks like...
It's like a big drum that rolls.
Yes, and but it's not solid.
Yeah, it's got slits in it, like a riverboat paddle.
Yes, like a riverboat paddle. And then that levels out all the clumps behind that piece of equipment when you're using it for tillage.
So all these vertical discs and spikes, they poke into the ground, they spin, they tear the ground up, and then the rotor or the big paddle on the back of your boat and on the back of the tillage piece levels out all the ground.
It does.
That's really cool.
And that's pretty cool.
And it does look different when it's in transport mode to go down the road versus being laid all the way out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, seen that.
These are great things that you found, Naomi.
Thank you.
This is fun.
Thank you. So this is kind of a random one, like... I thought it was cool to see.
John Deere sprayer, if I've seen one.
Okay.
Tires. Looks like they're displaying their ag tires on there.
Yep.
You can see the wings for the sprayer, but it's not fully extended.
Okay,
I don't know that they're handling them. But this is OK Tires, a local company.
Yes.
But the point I want to get to is there are some companies here who have a soybean-based ag tire. So you can buy them for passenger cars, and they're working on having them for bigger equipment. So they are based off of soybeans that you can, support your brand, you might say.
Yeah, I got a thing here. How about we hit a break really quick?
Oh, okay.
And when we come back, why don't we see if we can try and get a few of those photos up on the stream?
Yes.
And then that way watchers can see what Naomi got to see as well.
Oh, that'd be good.
Let's do that. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll continue this Ask a Farmer.
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
Maybe
what we decided to call this?
Well, we should have Naomi name us now.
You can name us. What do you want to call us? Any name works.
Let me get back to you.
Radio
on that.
Friendly, of course.
Of course.
As long as you can get it in within 10 seconds, but then I technically have to ask you to leave.
Oh, God.
But we can just give you a different name and send another person in. So it's,
okay. No. Okay.
Anyways, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for rejoining us. We got a few more fun things doing here. We're continuing our little bit, the Ask the Farmer and the Weather Guy, what all this stuff out here at Big Iron is. And if you're watching us on Facebook, YouTube Live, you can see images that we'll be pulling up here. And we're visiting here with Naomi, and she's not really involved in agriculture. She's a city girl. It's her first time out around the equipment at Big Iron. She's having a fun time, and she's sharing with us some of the things that she's seen out here and has questions about, or how it really works. So we're answering her questions, and we just looked at a few bits of equipment from beet pullers.
Yep, we looked at an Alloway sugar beet lifter. Mm-hmm. We looked at a Great Plains cultivator.
Plains cultivator, and then and also a John Deere sprayer.
Sprayer and Selfords. Tillage tool as well.
Yes. So what's the next thing that you saw out here?
So my last minute stop before I had to go over here because I'm not really familiar with the layout.
Oh, that's true. Yep.
So I went to the, I think it was like the kind of like in the grain bin. It's like the North Dakota Corn Council.
You were in, yes. If I'm not mistaken, that building you were in was the Ag Education Building.
Correct.
Did you look at the floor?
I did not. No, I'm going to go back after this. So, yes.
So, the unique thing about the floor in that building, in that Ag Education Building, it's corn. They epoxied corn kernels wow. into the floor. As far as they know, that is the only corn floor in the U.S.
It's the only really? Corn floor in the world, Bridget.
Okay, yes, wow. you're right. It's big.
So far, until Cody's dad copies them.
And does it in Maryland.
Does it in Maryland.
So not even Mitchell, South Dakota has something?
Not
no,
even Mitchell.
The Corn Palace?
Yes.
No such thing.
Take I that, love you, Mitchell, yeah. South Dakota, but just say
take
it.
That.
So, yeah, take that. Yeah,
take that. Take that, Mitchell.
Okay, so you were in the Ag Education Building, and it looks like you saw a table with the Corn Council.
Yes, so I think that is really cool how they did the display inside, and I will say, too, it was really nice to get more info on that and also just to cool down. It's a little hot out here.
Oh, it's warm. Yes. Yes.
Very warm today. They had some info about potatoes and then sunflower stuff. Sunflower seed, sunflower oil, and mm-hmm. then they also had a American Crystal Sugar display out oh. there as well about sugar beets and just really educational stuff that I will have to check out more before I leave today.
Well, and some of those uses for corn that you captured, things like ethanol as a fuel.
Yes.
You know, corn is a fiber being used in paints and yes. so many other areas, livestock feed, just non-traditional ideas, I think,
I
of
agree.
What we look for mm-hmm. for corn.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
Well, there was another photo that you sent us here. We have, I don't think we've talked about it yet.
Right.
Yes.
And this was, I guess I'm a little unfamiliar with what this thing might be. It well, looks like it's some sort of plow. I don't know. Are these, I'm assuming these are two different pieces of equipment here. So there's a plow
things.
And a fertilizer behind it.
I believe so. Yep.
Yep. So what you're seeing in the front of that, yep, this is at North Star Ag's booth, and that's called a deep ripper in front. Okay. And you'll see that it's got those deep tillage shanks. Those are going to go down.
Yeah, more of a shiv.
Very close. They deeply go into the ground. So if you have a compaction, okay, so you drive on the headlands, the same area of the field all the time, and it gets packed down. It's like concrete. Mm. You got to bust that up a little bit because you have plants like corn that needs a place for its deep roots to go. So you're going to take this deep ripper, and you're going to put it into the ground, and you're going to open that ground up by ripping it open
really
to allow the soil to almost frack a little bit so it opens up so you have a way for the roots to grow.
Cool.
But now, ingeniously behind it, you got a picture of Salford's Valmar and what that is.
Okay.
If you dry fertilizer, mm-hmm. okay, when you think about fertilizer, it comes in little tiny round pellets. They're called prills. To me, they remind me of the bean bags chairs, all the little foamy stuff that was inside.
Oh, okay.
That's what the prills look like. And they go into that spreader. It's aluminum booms unfold. And you drop that onto the ground as you go across the field.
So, Bridget, how wide, obviously, it depends on the model.
Sure.
Let's just talk about a big one here.
Sure.
How wide do those arms stick out from the side of those spreaders?
So,
let's talk dry, and then let's talk liquid.
So, if we're talking dry, and I'm going to look at this Valmar box that you got in the picture, Naomi,
yeah.
I'm going to venture a guess when you unfold, that's got to be a 60-foot, maybe larger. I'm terrible at guessing measurements without
knowing.
So, this
is 60 on each side, or about 30 on each side?
30 on each side.
So that's that's a big wingspan.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So how about the liquid ones? Because I think those are even bigger. Are they not?
Are. And you know, Naomi got a picture of a John Deere sprayer, and you can run liquid fertilizer through those types of machines. Mm-hmm. You can have 110 to 120 feet of boom length on there.
Wow.
And that's in total. Right?
Sure.
So
right.
that's across from tip to tip.
Right.
But those are big pieces of equipment when you can take a 120 foot swath going down a field.
That's a lot of things to look out not to hit as well when you got 120 feet of arm sticking out the backside
yes.
of your tractor.
You have no idea when you're talking to farmers, and they do. They've got that boom length out there,
mm-hmm.
and they got a little too close to the telephone pole, and
yes.
you'll hear that conversation of, well, I got to go back and get that boom. It might not knock off the whole thing, but like a section or gets a little bent up.
Yes.
It happens.
Oh, cool.
My goodness.
Did you get in any equipment, Naomi?
Sorry, friends, I did not.
Oh.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah, it's until 4
Unless
o'clock.
You don't want to. Yeah, it's a work goal. We've got two more hours to crawl
yeah,
into some
so
stuff.
So maybe I will get into some equipment.
We can get you in some of these old Steigers
the
if you
ones?
Want to.
Really?
If you want to get in those old ones.
Sure.
Yeah, just don't rev them too loud.
I can't make any promises. I'm just saying.
There's a distinct difference between the comfort in those versus the new ones.
Oh, they bet, yeah.
But you mentioned you saw a lot of kids.
Yes, I didn't want to wreck their shine when they were going on the equipment. So it was really cool to see the younger ones experiencing this. So
they have a distinct interest in wanting to see what's going on. So absolutely.
Yes, definitely. For sure.
All right. Well, Naomi, thanks for coming on again and asking us some questions. And I'm sure we'd love, well, I know we would love to have you on again. And I'm sure we'll probably have you on again at some point in the near future.
So nice to meet you guys in person. And you guys are great. And thank you so much for giving me the time to do this today.
Yeah,
this was
no
fun.
Problem.
Thank you.
Yes. And I suppose if anyone else maybe wants to try and as well, just shoot us an email if you'd like to come on the show and ask us some questions about ag.
Mm-hmm. Ag at Flag Family or weather at Flag Family. Let us know. We'd be happy to work with you to get those answered.
All right. We got one more guest here, and this is an interview that we had yesterday that we're going to play back for you here on the show. And a little, who are we speaking with again, Bridget?
This is Albert from the Mars Toy Company. Albert is the fellow who put together our WJY Stagger Cougar tractor that you can still pick up here at Big Iron at the Lamar's Toy Company booth.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
All right. I am with Albert from Lamar's Toy Store in Lamar's, Iowa. Albert, you seem like a big fan of the Steiger tractor. Why is that?
Well, we do all kinds of tractors in the store, Bridget. Steiger's one of the many ones we do. We do all the brands and stuff like that. We customize and everything else. Now, last year, remember, we had a few left over from your deal last fall. We still have a few left here to sell today. It was a Steiger 132nd, so they're $150. Come to our booth or come to your booth. You guys can pick them up here. They're all serial numbered.
You said they're all serial numbered, and there's no shipping. You get to pick them up and take them out with you today.
Exactly. They're ready to go for you guys, so stop by and pick one up.
If someone doesn't know what the KM280 on a Steiger means, can you explain that?
Well, the 280 is the horsepower. The KM, I'm not sure what that all means, but no, it's one of the nice ones they did.
It's a beautiful machine, and because of the region and our affiliation with Steiger and how proud everybody is, I think they should all stop to take one home today.
Yes, I have 24 left, so they won't last too long.
That's right. Everything's a limited sale, so get in here fast. Lamar Toy Company, they're located right by the North Dakota Health Checks, which are with Precision Planting in their building, which is usually the horticulture building during the fair. Stop and see us. Thank you.
Right on. They're still over there as well if you want to stop by. And we still got some tractors available as well, those old Steigers, and we got the full-size ones.
I took
right
a picture.
In front of us, too.
I took our Cougar, Steiger Cougar out there and took a picture of our tractor, the toy one, with the full-size one, and I posted it on our Facebook page today as well.
Yeah, it was something else. It's pretty cool. I'm going to go up there and I think I'm going to go start one up, take it a lap around the parking lot.
I think the folks at Bonanzaville have a little to say about that.
Always better to ask for forgiveness than permission, I was always told.
Depends on the situation.
Sometimes you don't get that you're forgiven.
No,
but,
no.
We just cut those ties.
Until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. We're back 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Jay Thomas Show's coming up next.